Let's do this. The Cult of Hockey podcast by the faithful and for the faithful. I'm Bruce McCurdy, the Cult of Hockey, filling in flying solo again tonight as my usual sidekick, or I'm his sidekick, probably more like it. David Staples is off in Okotoks, Alberta, playing with his girls' team that he coaches in the provincial playdowns. So his team's had a pretty good year. Tonight, the Edmonton Oilers played the Columbus Blue Jackets in what was a hugely important game for the Blue Jackets, and a game of remains to be seen importance for the Oilers. But give the home side credit. After a couple of very tough losses on the road, they came home and tread water for quite a while, and gradually took control of the game and rolled to a 4-1 victory over the Blue Jackets, in the process knocking the visitors from 8th to 9th place in the East Conference standing. So it's hard to play any bigger spoilers than that on a given night. That's knock them off their playoff perch with a regulation win, and that's 2 on the year for the Oilers, with 8-4, 1 against Columbus, the team that they've had some pretty good success against. So tonight we're going to do a relatively brief podcast about a game that was not the most entertaining to watch, but it had its moments, mostly in the back half of the game. I'll follow our usual format: 2 good things, 2 bad things, 2 numbers. And the good things, I think my first good thing is just going to be overall team effort. I thought that the Oilers were solid, even though the first period plus was really played in mud. I actually thought both teams were playing hard. They were just so defensive. They couldn't get shots through. They were just battling each other to a standstill, but battling they were. It wasn't like they were going through the motions, at least not to my eye. And Edmonton in particular had trouble penetrating Columbus. At one point, the Oilers had 20 shot attempts, but just 2 shots on goal. I did my math right. And with the majority of the unsuccessful shots being blocked by the Columbus defense. And the Oilers then fell behind 1-0, and the sinking feeling was on in earnest that here comes another loss. But they were able to bounce back quickly with a goal from the bottom six. Always a welcome sight, and certainly in a game you trail 1-0 to sort of restabilize it at 1-1 and get to the second intermission. And then in the third period, the team took command, and they scored in the first minute, and then they pounded home 2 more goals in the late going to run the score to 4-1. No empty netters, all goals against goalies. The last goal was scored on the only power play in the entire game for either team, that by Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, and with about 4 minutes to play. And that certainly was the end of the of doubt for this game. But really, the Oilers, the defense gave up relatively little. The bottom six held their own in the flow of play and battled Columbus really to a standstill with that bonus goal. And then in the third, the big boys took over with Leon Draisaitl setting up all 3 of Edmonton's goals in the final frame. Connor McDavid, who was really brilliant, especially in the second part of this game when he really started feeling it, and he was juking and jiving out there, and he got a nifty goal, a nifty assist, and a few other nifty plays that easily could have resulted in points, such as one that he from almost impossible angle dinged off the crossbar by surprising Jonas Korpisalo with a shot from an extremely difficult angle. So, and Zach Cassian, who got the game winner with his 14th of the year and continues what's been a very, very good role for a player who, as I recall, had about 1 point after, I think I did a splits after 27 games, and he had 1 point at that time. Now he's up to 14 goals, and he's banging in some assists, and he's playing with a verve and enthusiasm that's a really welcome sight after that aspect of his game and his personality really having been largely missing for most of last season and the early part of this. He really seems to be loving playing, and his teammates seem to be loving playing with him. McDavid seemed to be a lot happier about the celebration on Cassian's goal than the one on his own. And he just seems to have a lifting effect on his mates at times, and that's really good to see. My other good thing is the play of Mikko Koskinen, who also bounced back from a very difficult last little while, having really three poor games in his last four starts. But tonight he was very strong when he needed to be. Not a lot of rubber, especially early. And really on the night, he only faced 20 shots. The Oilers outshot Columbus 22-20. And but Koskinen was there with a terrific glove save off a deke of Pierre-Luc Dubois that was kind of a great scoring chance out of nowhere after many minutes of nothing in the first period. And that kept the game stable. He really had no chance on the one that beat him, a deflection from close range on a nice three-way passing play by the Jackets. But he slammed the door on any number of other opportunities and turned aside some of the more dangerous players on the Columbus Blue Jackets. And so credit to Mikko for bouncing back with a real solid game. And he was good with the glove tonight. He's been taking a lot of heat for weakness on the glove side, and tonight he had that going on, and he made a few good stops with the leather. And generally was one of those games where not a lot would happen for a while, and then bang or bang bang there'd be chances, and he would rise to the occasion. So that's exactly what you want and need out of your number one stopper, and for Edmonton Oilers, Mikko Koskinen is that guy. Okay, bad things. Well, the first period and a half. In one sense, they played hard. Both teams played hard. I'll give it that. It wasn't like they were going through the motions, not to my eye. It was just they were checking each other to a standstill. They were all over the puck. It was very hard to get shots through. Shots were being blocked. Passes were being deflected, weird bounces were taking place, and just pucks weren't getting through to the goalies. And the first period in particular just seemed like a whole lot of nothing going on, not really very entertaining hockey at all. And really, that persisted well into the second frame. It wasn't until I think the 11:35 mark that Columbus broke the ice with the first goal, and that actually broke the stalemate in the game. And from then till the end, it was pretty good, and especially good for the Oilers, who got better and better as the night went on. So my other bad thing, I'm tempted to talk about the Toby Reeder thing, but that really isn't about tonight's game. I think that's something we need to explore in more detail in a blog post. So I'm just going to say Columbus, for a team that should have been flat out desperate in this game, they had a few moments, but they really didn't seem to have what it took to stay with the Oilers down the stretch. And if you can't stay with the 25th place team or whatever Oilers are at this particular moment, what's a bad sign for a team in the last 10 games of a season in desperate straits for a playoff game? So I would imagine the reaction in Columbus is probably not too different from the reaction in Edmonton when the Oilers lost a couple of road games on this recent trip that they really had to win to stay in the race. And I know John Tortorella had some concerns that he expressed in the post game, and it was more just to do with the desperation missing from his team. And it's a very puzzling thing. They have gone in on a number of unrestricted free agents. They kept a couple of their own that are threatening to walk, and then they resisted the temptation to trade those guys for assets. And in addition to that, they doubled down by trading significant assets to bring in a couple of free agents from Ottawa Senator, potential or upcoming free agents in Matt Duchene and Ryan Zingle. Zingle had a very nice play on the one Columbus goal, but collectively, those guys just didn't have a major impact on the game, and not many of the Columbus players really did. And it was just a so-so showing from a team that needed to be a whole lot better than what they showed. So with that out of the way, let's go to our numbers. We're supposed to do two numbers, but I'm going to cheat a little bit. One of my numbers is going to be milestones, and this is a number of big, fat, round numbers hit by major players on the Oilers. One of them is 200 points, the combined totals of Connor McDavid with 107 and Leon Draisaitl now with 93 on the season. And it's nice to see the boys pass that particular milestone. And actually, my bad, it's 94 for Draisaitl. So they're actually at 201 points now on the year, the three of them, because after both being in on two goals, Draisaitl got an extra assist on the last goal. That took him from 200 to 201. Briefly forgot about that. Another round number is the 50 assists achieved by Draisaitl for the first time in his career after hitting 48 2 years ago, 45 last year. He passed the half-century mark tonight with three apples all in the third period. And very nice plays, all of them. One secondary assist that set up an odd man chance for McDavid and Cassian. And then two very nice feeds into the slot to the guy who put home, respectively, McDavid and then Nugent Hopkins. And the other milestone round number is 25 goals now potted by RNH, which is a career high. He previously hit 24 on one occasion, and now he's up to 25 for the first time. So it's a round number and a career high. So worthy of mention. And then my other second number is actually a time lag, and that is 10 years, 1 month, and 10 days. And that is the elapsed time since Kyle Brodziak scored a goal on home ice as a member of the Edmonton Oilers back on February 11th, 2009, before the Oilers gave him away that summer to Minnesota Wild in a deal that never did make much sense. Of course, he's played for other teams, and he scored goals in Edmonton, but wearing visiting colors in that time. And this year, for whatever reason, all five of his goals to this point had all been scored on the road. So this was the first one at home, and it had the extra bonus of being the first career point for Joe Gambardella, who is impressing as a strong forechecking, hardworking depth player, and he's really been showing his good side more in this second call up than he was able to in the first time around, and that's good to see. So a few milestones across the board for Oilers high up in the food chain and a couple further on down, but that was the whole thing about tonight being a team effort. They were all chipping in to various degrees, and that's the reason why they pulled off the what turned out to be a convincing win. And with that, I'm going to say goodnight and thank you for listening. And in the meantime and in between times, this has been another edition of the Cult of Hockey podcast.